لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So my first question is, inshallah, the mic is okay. Everybody can hear my voice properly. Okay. Now, tonight's majlis, inshallah, is being held in honor of Imam al-Hasan, alayhi salatu wassalam. And after the majlis, inshallah, there'll be a latmiya. I encourage brothers and sisters to participate, inshallah, in that latmiya. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to prepare the masa'ib in particular for the imam. So instead of doing that, I'd like to mention just a few words about this imam. Imam al-Hasan, alayhi salam, is very much a misunderstood imam by many of the Shia. Misunderstood and sometimes misrepresented. Sometimes what happens is, unfortunately, we find this is the case. When believers are trying to do their responsibility to stand up against oppression, to speak out, let's say we're here in this country and we have a responsibility to at least speak out against oppression. Where it's a free country, you can speak out. Some people, in order to discourage the believers from doing their responsibility, they tell you, why is everything Imam Hussein with you? There are different approaches. Sometimes we take the approach of Imam Hassan, not the approach of Imam Hussein. So what are they doing? They're making it out as if one of the imams was a pacifist, Imam al-Hasan, and the other imam, he was, for instance, belligerent. He was always in your face. Oh, right? And that couldn't be further from the truth. We believers, we say this, they're all one nur. All of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, are one nur, living under different circumstances, all trying to do the exact same thing. What are they trying to do? The same thing that Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam, will do. All of them were trying to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. All of them were mujahideen. All of them were brave. That treaty that Imam Hassan made, the treaty that's very, we're all heard about the treaty, he was Imam Hassan's imam during that time. Imam Hussein's imam. Imam Hussein is also one of the people who's the signatories of the treaty. So it's not like they had, no, they were both there during the time of the treaty. And if Imam Hassan was there during the time of Imam Hussein, he would have definitely risen up. Because they're all one nur. So having said that, part of tonight's discussion goes back to what you and I need to do to get ready for the living imam, the imam of the time. I mentioned last night that the imam is as strong as you and I. And I mentioned the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he assisted the Prophet binasrihi with divine help wa bil mu'mineen with the believers. Whenever you and I are strong, then the imam is the same. They're all one nur. The followers make the difference. And if you remember in the story of Imam al-Hasan, before he goes over and signs the treaty, at first he goes to wage war with Muawiyah. The Muslims don't support Imam al-Hasan. He gives a lecture, a khutbah, fiery khutbah. He tells them, I'm ready to go over and fight. The Muslims say, we want to stay alive. The Muslim, not Imam Hassan. And one of the people came over and was criticizing the imam, that you humiliated us. You gave over the government to this tyrant. And the imam said, Wallah, he said, if I had ansar, if I had helpers, I would have fought day and night. So a lot of times it goes back to us. And that's what we're trying to get right on these nights, to learn those promises of God, what it is that God expects from us, so we can be strong and we can be game changers for our imam. Please send a salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Now tonight's talk is about one of those beautiful promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. The purpose of this promise, like many of those other beautiful verses of the Quran, is that God wants us to develop an Islamic mindset. Part of developing an Islamic mindset is that you and I believe, based on ayat of the Quran, that everything is going to be all right. No matter what our current situation is, no matter what difficulties we're facing, no matter how powerful the enemy, how big the obstacle, what problem we're dealing with, it could be in my personal life, my family life, I could be dealing with health issues, I could be fighting against a tyrant, a taghiyah, whatever it is, you and I are supposed to believe that in the end, it's going to be all right. It's going to work out for us. Very, very important for us to believe. And some of our senior ulama have called developing this mindset, the mindset of hope. It's going to be all right. It's going to work out. They've called it our greatest jihad. Our greatest jihad. Why would it be our greatest jihad? What do we find from our ulama? They say, if you have hope, if you believe things are going to work out, that's the key that unlocks all the other locks. That's what keeps you going. That's what keeps you putting one foot after the other. In the end, it's going to be okay. It counts. God sees. So developing this mindset is very, very important. And we're going to try and do that tonight by focusing on this particular promise of God. But first, a salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The promise that we want to focus on tonight is a promise of God where he says that he's with us. Allah, the Lord of the universe, the creator of all, is with the believers. God is with us. God supports us. He's right next to us. He helps us. Believing that God is with us is very important. I want to share four points about, I'm going to share the verses of the Quran. The idea being, you and I later, we look at these ayat of the Quran ourselves. It's not just an inspirational speech. You and I have learned something from the Quran. Later on, we share this with other believers. We'll be speaking to believers, mu'mineen, mu'minat, who are going through difficulty. You and I want to say, God is on your side. But having looked at the ayat of the Quran, having understood God's promises, so the first point about this, and I'm going to give you the verse of the Quran, is that you see that God is going to be telling his Nabi, he's going to tell this prophet of God about this promise to comfort him. Our prophet in this story is going to be going through an unbelievable task, mission impossible, something you can't succeed at, and God reminds him of his presence. I'm with you. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. Where is that story? The story of Nabi Musa. Nabi Musa has a mission now and he has to go face Fir'aun. What's the backstory here? Nabi Musa, if you remember, Fir'aun had been looking for Musa from before he was born. Looking for him to kill him before he's born. Musa gets born. Allah makes Musa grow up in the house of Pharaoh. After that, when Musa gets older, he kills a man, if we remember this part of the story. Accidentally, he kills a man. He leaves, he flees Egypt, and he's wanted by the authorities. He has a death warrant. They're looking for him. He runs. And now he has to go back and liberate who? The children of Israel. And he's going to liberate them from someone who has been holding them a slave. More than that, Pharaoh has a God complex. Ayat of the Quran, Ana Rabbukumul A'la. I am God. So a megalomaniac looking for this man in particular, been looking for him before he was born, and then now you have to go over and go back to him and say, what? Let the children, Bani Israel, go. So naturally, it's natural they would be concerned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells this story more than once in the Quran. Nabi Musa now and Nabi Harun, both. They're going to go over and face this man, this terrible tyrant. So I want you to pay attention to the Arabic of the verse and see what God says. I want to mention two verses from Surah 26, 14 and 15.
Musa is speaking. So both of them, we have our mission, Nabi Musa, we're going to go over to face Pharaoh.
وَلَهُمْ عَلَيَّ ذَنْبٌ. They've got something over me. I've done something, according to them. I've killed this man. I'm wanted.
Musa's concerned.
وَفَأَخَافُ أَنْ يَقْتُلُونَ. I'm afraid they're going to kill me. What does God say?
قَالَ كَلَّا. God said, never.
فَذْهَبَا بِآيَاتِنَا.
You two go with our signs, with our ayat. Now the part that we have to pay attention to.
إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ مُسْتَمِعُونَ.
Truly, we are with you. We're listening. Why be afraid? Who are you afraid of? I don't care if it's Pharaoh. I don't care who it is. God. I'm listening. I'm watching. I'm seeing. You take care of business. Go with our ayat. Don't be afraid. If you have God on your side, what difference does it make? The number of the enemy, the size of the problem, God. Number one. Number two. The Anbiya, Allah's prophets, they believed these promises and they would act on them. I want to give you another story from the verses of the Quran. The prophets believed these promises, they would act on them. The situation would seem impossible. Nobody can make it out. We're going to lose. The prophets would say, no, God's with us. Where's the story? It's from our prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So brothers and sisters, you are familiar with the story of our prophet, and you remember that he had to make hijrah and he had to flee Mecca. So Mecca is where the home of Quraysh, the most powerful of the tribes, Quraysh. They're looking for the prophet. Everybody on the lookout to get the prophet, to kill the prophet, right? His life is in danger. He flees, he goes. When he leaves, they send bounty hunters to hunt the prophet down. The prophet escapes. He goes over to a cave. The bounty hunters come right outside the door of the cave. So there's no escape. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to leave? They're right outside. They're out the mouth of the cave. It's natural. His companion, he panicked. What did the prophet say? This is the words of the prophet. Surah 9, verse number 40. God, the prophet says this. La tahzan. Don't be worried. Don't get scared. Don't worry. Don't panic. Inna Allah ma'ana. Truly, Allah is with us. If Allah is with us, why would I be concerned? It's okay. Yes, from the outside, a cave, we can't escape. Bounty hunters, the tribe looking for us. But if God is with me, what's the concern? Point number three. The Anbiya, the prophets, you're going to see from the verses of the Quran, when things got hairy, when the situation got difficult, when their companions, their ashab, they were going to panic, the Anbiya would remind them of this promise of God. The Anbiya will remind the Muslims at that time of this prophecy of God. I want to give you the story from the life of Nabi Musa. So Nabi Musa, in this part of the story, what happens is that he has the command now to take Bani Israel and to run, to escape. He's going to escape. When he's escaping, Pharaoh, the same one who says, I'm God, he knows that they're leaving. He gets his army and they're chasing the Bani Israel. So Bani Israel, the children of Israel, are running, escaping, men, women, and children trying to escape. And now the horde of Pharaoh is coming after them, chasing after them. What's in front of them? The sea. So they're running to the sea, Pharaoh chasing him. It's natural, people like, where are we going? When is the help going to come? People panic. We're going to get taken. We're going to get killed. What did Nabi Musa say? Ayat of the Quran, Surah 26, verse number 62. Nabi Musa says this, قَالَ كَلَّا. Musa said, never. إِنَّ مَعْيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. Truly, my Lord is with me. سَيَهْدِينَ. He's going to guide me. Why would I panic? Why would I be scared? God is with me.
Fourth point, this is also very important. The fourth point is that this promise is also there for you and I. Not only for the Anbiya, not only in those difficult situations, God, the creator of the universe, has given us, the believers, this promise in the Quran also. This one, let's look at Surah number 16. This is one of the places. Allah, more than one place, he mentions the promise. I'm mentioning one of them. Surah 16 and verse number 128. What does God say to us? Inna Allah ma'a alladhina taqaw. Truly Allah, God, is with those who practice taqwa. God mentions two conditions over here in this verse. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Those people who do good acts of kindness. So yes, the promise of God is with us. Of course, we have a responsibility. What's our responsibility? God said taqwa. What does that mean? You and I have to practice Islam also. We have to implement Islam. We can't be picking and choosing with Islam. My favorite parts of Islam. I do this, but this is also Islam. I refuse to do that. No, Imam Ali said, Al-Islam huwa taslim. Islam is submission. It's a package deal. Whatever is wajib, we have to do. No exceptions. All of Islam. All of Islam. So what happens? You and I now having heard this and seeing these verses of the Quran, no matter what our challenge is, if it's that we're facing our own personal demons, sometimes I'm dealing with a habit I want to break, something that I'm doing. I know, baini wa bain Allah, this is not right to do. Allah doesn't like this. Shaitan threatens me. He makes it seem, this is too big. You've always done this. You're never going to be free of this curse. You're going to be committing this sin. Maybe that's the challenge. No, maybe it's another challenge. Sometimes in the family. Sometimes dealing with our spouse, our children, other relatives. It's a big challenge. I remember one time I was in Iran and this taxi driver was talking to me. He told me, he said that having a bad relative, everybody agrees, is very difficult. He said, a bad relative is like a masjid door. You can't burn it. You can't sell it. It's just there. Could be a problem I'm dealing with. A relative. It could be finances. It could be health. Whatever it is. It could be social, political. Whatever it is. The mu'min or mu'mina does their responsibility without fear. God's on my side. What happens is, a lot of times, mu'minin and mu'minat forget that God's on their side. They make big mistakes. We have a hadith from our prophet, and he's telling Imam Ali, he talks about three akhlaqi traits that people have, three bad traits that mu'minin are not supposed to have. And he says all of them have one root. Let's look at the hadith. He says, wa'lam ya Ali, know this, O Ali, أَنَّ الْجُبْنَ, cowardice, وَالْبُخْل, being stingy. I should be spending, I'm not. So one, cowardice, the other one being stingy, وَالْحِرْس, being greedy. Sometimes the person should be content. He says all of these are one, they have one trait, غَرِيزَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ, they all are one trait, and they go back to one root cause. What's the root cause of all of these things? Why is it sometimes I should be brave? I should trust in God. I don't. Sometimes I should spin. I'm stingy. Sometimes I should say enough is enough. But I keep working and more. Why? He says it all goes back to thinking badly of God. I don't think God's on my side. I don't think Allah's going to help me. I have to have my own back. I can't trust God. I can't trust God. So the thing is, you and I want to make sure we keep these promises in the beginning or right there in front of us. We remind, the same way we reminded ourselves of that other verse, that we're up to the task that we read yesterday. And also this one, that God's with us, we want to remind ourselves. Otherwise, we'll get scared, we embarrass ourselves. Later on, we look back, we say, why did I make that terrible mistake? I heard a story that definitely, inshallah, it's not true. It's about a town in Iran called Tabriz. Tabriz. So what happens is, inshallah, it's not true. They said once there was this elderly couple and they were living in their house and a thief came to the house. And the thief came and he broke down, came inside their house and he started stealing and the couple was inside. And they're looking and watching the man steal all of their possessions, but the old man was scared. He told his wife, he said, don't say anything. Inshallah, he won't see us. So the man goes, he's stealing all of their possessions and he turns around, he sees them. People are looking at him. He says, I can't have witnesses. I'm going to have to kill you guys. So he comes over and he's going to say, I'm going to have to kill them. I can't have witnesses. He tells the lady, he says, what's your name? And the lady said, my name is Fatima. He said, I can't kill you. My mom's name is Fatima. Then he turns to the old man. He said, what's your name? The old man was thinking to himself. He said, I don't know what his dad's name is. He said, my name is Ghazanfar, but my friends call me Fatima. We don't want to humiliate ourselves. We want to remember God is on our side. God's strong. If we forget the promises of God, then we make those big mistakes. So now, we want to develop that emotional relationship with God and believe that Allah, the creator of the universe, is on our side. If we want to develop that and want to feel that and want to act on that, one of the things you and I need to work on is the idea of how much is it that God cares about us? Does Allah care about us? Are we just a number to God? He has so many servants all over the world. Does he know me personally? Is he concerned about me as an individual? This is very important for us to keep in mind. And what we're going to try and do is to discover this by looking at the example of Ahlul Bayt. Because Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they're the perfect representatives of God on the earth. If you want to see the rahmah of Allah, but in a corporal form, you look at Ahlul Bayt. You want to see the kindness of God, you look at Ahlul Bayt. And then you say, okay, if Ahlul Bayt are like this, how must God be? He's arhamur rahimin. So I'll give you an example. There's a man telling a story and his name is Abu Habib. He lived in the time of the 8th Imam, Abu Habib. So Abu Habib says that once I had a dream, and in my dream, I saw Rasulullah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Wow. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. In my dream, the Prophet came to the local mosque. He came to the local mosque. So like everybody else, I would have wanted to go over. I came to see the Prophet. I came over, I saw that the Prophet was eating a particular type of dates. So I came to the Prophet, and I said salams to the Prophet, and the Prophet reached inside his bowl of dates, and he gave me some of those dates. So in my dream, I counted the dates, and I saw that there were 18 dates. And I woke up after that, I realized that I have 18 years to live. Right? 18 dates, 18 years to live. He says the next day, 20 days later, I was working on my farm. When I was working on my farm, I got the news that Imam Ridha is in town. They said he's at that local mosque, the local mosque where I'm staying. He's at that local mosque. People were visiting the Imam. So he said, I went over to the mosque to also see the Imam. And he said, when I went to go see the Imam, I see that the Imam's sitting there. And he has the same kind of dates I saw the Prophet had in his dream. I say salams to the Imam. The Imam says, come forward. The Imam reaches inside the dates and he gives me dates. Now I go over, I count the dates. I see it's 18. I say, Yabna Rasulullah, give me more dates. Rasulullah said, if Prophet had given you more dates, I would give you more dates. So the Imam, you and I, how is our relationship like with the Imam? The Imam knows us personally, even our dreams. It's mentioned in Hadith. Hadith said this, when you fall sick, we fall sick. When you make dua, we say ameen. If you don't make dua, we pray for you. So the relationship between us and the Imam is like that. If that is how the Imam is, then Allah is Arhamur Rahimin. How much does He care for us? How much is He concerned about us? Very important for us to keep this in mind. So the instructions of Ahlul Bayt now are that you and I, no matter what our situation is, never let anything make us bitter towards God. Never get angry at God. Always think good of God. God cares about you. He's looking for you. He wants to help you. Always make sure you think good of Him. This is what the Imam says. أحسن الظن بالله. Think good of God. Always thinking good of Him. No matter what the situation, no matter what we're going through, no matter how long we've been dealing with the situation, God's good. If you and I can adopt this trait, it can lead one to be raised with the Anbiya, with God's prophets. It's mentioned in Hadith that once in the time of Nabi Dawood, what happened was he was told by God that there's a young lady in the community, and she is going to be raised with you and be in your daraja in paradise. The rank of the prophet, Nabi Dawood. Nabi Dawood was curious, and he went to go see her and see what she was like. There are lessons in this for us. He went to this young lady, and he started asking her about her a'mal. What is it that you do? Do you always make 1,000 rakats of salat? Do you fast? What do? So she told him our a'mal, but when she listened to the a'mal were ordinary. It wasn't anything that would blow you out of the water. Then he said something else. He said, tell me about your niyyah. Tell me about you and God. What do you think about God? She said this. She said, no matter what situation I'm in, when God brings me into a new situation, I was in one situation. In the other hadith that talk about the same incident, poverty, affliction, bala, no matter what it is, no matter what it is with the new situation, I'm always happier with God than I was in the previous situation. I know I serve a good God. He's good. No matter what I'm going through, He cares about me. When he heard that, he realized that was the secret. That's what her secret was. And he said this, فقال, Nabi Dawood spoke, حسنا ظنك بالله جل وعز. What really was the secret? What was special? Not all of the a'mal. You were doing your wajibat. That was great. But what was special about you was you always thought good of God. You always believe that you served a good God. Now, a couple of things for us to keep in mind. One of the things you and I have to keep in mind is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't know how many of you have children. I have children, alhamdulillah, Allah bless me with children. And I have two little twins, two little itty bitty boys, 1 year old. One thing that you do as a parent, I want to use this for us to get to know God. One thing you do as a parent is sometimes your baby may want something, but that thing isn't good for the baby. The babies think, daddy's cruel. He won't let, for instance, let's say a little kid wants to go and take a fork and plug it into a socket. You as a loving parent, you're going to take the fork. You say, no, you can't. Maybe the little kid be jumping up and down. I want the fork. They don't understand. God looks out for our best interest. He looks out for, I'm going to mention the hadith for it. So we have that deep understanding of Ahlul Bayt and of God. God looks out, he mentions that there's different types of servants. I'm going to give you part of the hadith. He says, some of my servants are like this. In order for their deen to be straight, in order for them to make it, so they make it on the day of judgment, these individuals need me to give them wealth, money, to make sure they're healthy. I know that's what they need. That's what's going to keep them on the path. So he said, so I test them in that way. I test them. I give them money. I give them health. I give them what they need. He says, other servants are different. Some of my servants, I know if I give them wealth and money, then they will leave the path. They will forget about me. They won't be making those du'as. He says, so I test those individuals with that.
God looks to, the hadith continues. He says, for some people, their test is ibadah.
If Allah gives them the tawfiq, let's say to make salatul layl, let's say to do some of those big important, that would affect them negatively. Instead of remaining humble, they'll get arrogant. I test them in that way.
So in answer, God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks out for our best interests. What do we really need? Not do we what we think we need. I think I need this job. I think I need to get married to this person. I think I need to buy a house right now. God says, what do they really need? I give them what they really need so they stay close to me, so they make it on the last day. Very important for us to keep in mind. So you and I have to do something. When we're in the middle of bala and difficulty and challenge, and things are going, sometimes our situation is so difficult, we can't even explain it to anybody. We can't even tell anybody about it. So difficult, you and I have to remember that God sees us. God's watching, God cares. God never forgets us. He never forgets us. I want to share a story that's not true. They said once, it's not true. Once, there was a lady, and she was in the hospital having an operation. She had a heart attack. It's not true. She had a heart attack. When she had a heart attack, she started talking to God. She said, God, is this it? And God said, no, you've got 40 more years. She got out of the hospital. She said, alhamdulillah. She went over. She got a tummy tuck. She was got a cosmetic surgery. She's looking good. Alhamdulillah. She came outside the hospital, and then a truck came, and the truck hit her, and it killed her. And she went back to God, and she was like, God, I thought you said I had 40 more years. And God said, was that you? I didn't recognize you. We don't believe that about God. We don't believe God ever forgets us. He always knows our situation. The ayat of Quran says this, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Neither sleep overtakes God. God doesn't slumber, always there, always watching, always caring, always looking. So, if that's the case, that God always cares, always looking, always watching, then you and I, we need to make sure we don't put God in a box. Sometimes people put God in a box. God, I want this. I want it like this. I want it to be this person. I want it to be this house and this time. Instead of praying to God and asking God, but staying humble. In the hadith, this is what God says in the hadith. He says, Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, ati'ni fima amartuk. You obey me. When I tell you to do something, you make sure you listen to me and you obey me. Wa la tu'allimni ma yuslihuk. Don't teach me what's good for you. Don't put me in a box. Don't tell me how to do things. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his dream for you is bigger than your dream for yourself. You and I are thinking, if it was just this, this would be great. God says, no, when I look at big picture for your life, if I keep you from this blessing and I give you another blessing, it's better for you. Let me give you another story that's not true. Not true. He said once, this cat, it died and it went to paradise. A cat. Went to paradise. And when the cat went to paradise, then one of the angels came over to the cat and he said that, what can I do to make your life better? And the cat said, you know, I had a hard life when I was in the dunya. You know what would really be nice? The angel said, don't even say anything. I know exactly what you need. And he brought him a wonderful fluffy pillow. Then after about 6 days later, some mice died and they went to paradise. And when they went to paradise, then the angel greeted them. He said, Ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to paradise. He said, what can I do to make your life better? And the angel said, when we were in the dunya, we would always be running, always being chased. Sometimes cats chasing us, sometimes dogs chasing us, sometimes ladies with brooms chasing us, always running. The angel said, I know exactly what you need. Don't say anything more. And he gave each one of them a tiny pair of roller skates. A few days later, then the cat, he came back to the cat and he asked the cat, he said, how are you doing? How's paradise? The cat said, paradise is wonderful. But just when I thought things couldn't get any better,
I discovered the Meals on Wheels. Sometimes God's plan for us is better than anything you and I have planned. I want to give you a true story. There was a man who came, I'm going to mention his name, or I'm going to mention who it is later. He came to America as an immigrant, his family immigrated to America. This young man, he was very talented in sports, and it was his dream to play baseball. His dream was that one day I'm going to play for the Detroit Tigers. He was very good in high school, very, very good in baseball. And then what happened? He went overseas. He went in the military. He came back. When he came back, then now the Detroit Tigers offered him a job in the minor leagues. And he was doing very well. He was playing baseball, a 4-year contract. After the minor leagues, you go pro. He's thinking things are very good. And then he suffered a major knee injury. When he suffered that major knee injury, he can't play baseball anymore. Huge setback. So disappointed. He moves back in with his dad. His dad tells him, he says that, look, you're not going to make money playing baseball anymore. I need you to get a regular job. You can stay here at my house, but I need you to get a regular job. He starts searching, trying to find a job, He can't find a job. Finally, he tells one of his friends, he's like, look, my dad wants me to find a job. Right now, there is no job. Even if you don't have a job, give me a job. I just want to be out of the house for a few hours, show my dad that I'm working. His friend owned a pizza store. So he would go in for free. He would make pizzas in his friend's restaurant for free. He got so good at making pizzas, he ended up opening his own restaurant. Later on, he ended up opening another restaurant, a third restaurant. Today, he owns Little Caesars. He also owns the Detroit Tigers. His dream was to play for them. God's dream was bigger. So you and I, we want to keep that in mind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows what's really good for us. The same verse that we had from Quran yesterday, where God told us in the Quran, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Sometimes you and I, we dislike something. We think something is so bad, it's unfortunate. Surah 4, verse number 19. But actually, God says, I put a lot of khair in that. So the thing that you and I need to keep in mind when we're going through difficulties, we're going through bala, is that we have to learn to trust God's timing. God's timing is perfect. He knows what we're going through. He knows when to provide the relief. He knows where our best interests lie. And he's concerned about us. Because that's the case, he gives it to us when the time is right. Right? So think about a believer who's like this. God's with me, on my side. He cares about me. But his timing is perfect. I want to give you a true story. You and I know that the Quran teaches us that those who are killed in the way of Allah are alive. Right? Ayat of the Quran. This is Surah 3, verse number 169. What does God say? وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتَ. Don't consider those people who are killed in the way of Allah as amwat. They're dead. They're not connected with us. What does God say? بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Rather, they're alive. Promise of God in the Quran. True story. There was a young man. The sheikh who was telling this story is one of the senior ulama in Iran. And he was telling this story on national TV. And he said, I've checked this story out to make sure it's accurate. He said what happened was, there was a young man. And this young man was good guy, working, trying. He had only had a 2-year degree, by the way, this guy, 2-year degree. And this guy was trying to get married. And he kept trying and he kept being rejected. And kept trying and kept being rejected. Kept trying, kept being rejected, till finally he got to the situation that he lost hope. But then he met a girl. And he was like, this is the girl that I want to marry. Inshallah, this is the girl. So he went over to the girl and he spoke to her about marriage. And the girl told him, no, I'm not interested. And he was so hurt. He was broken, this poor guy. The guy is the son of Shahid, by the way. He was broken. Later on, he calls the girl. He's like, why did you say no? And the girl said, you know what? Your father, he went to the battlefront. He's Shahid. I want a father-in-law who's alive. You don't have your father with you. And that really hurt him. That broke this young man. That evening when he went to his room, he goes over to his room and now he picks up the picture of his father. And he starts talking to his father and he's so angry. And he told his father, he said, you went, you left, and you left my mother with 5 orphans. We grew up on our own. Why did you even go to the battlefield? Why did you do this? Fussing, crying, complaining. He says, at that time I went to sleep. And normally he would never go to sleep at that time. He went to sleep early. And he sees his father, the Shaheed, in the dream. So his father sees him in the dream. He says, why are you complaining about me? Why are you doing this? I did what was wajib. This was the fatwa of the Imam. Imam Khomeini gave this fatwa. I had to go. It was wajib. He said, don't say these words. These words hurt me. The young man says, in the middle of the dream, I see Imam Khomeini's come. And so many of the shuhada. And he said, Imam Khomeini came right over next to me. And he said that, why is it you're criticizing your father? Why criticize him? Criticize me. It was my fatwa. He was doing his responsibility. He says, in the middle of the dream, Imam Khomeini went over. He says, so many shuhada were there. And Imam Khomeini said, you, one of the shuhada. He said, you marry your daughter to this young man. And the Shahid said, of course. In the dream, the young man goes over and asks the Shahid, he's like, what's your address? He gives him an address. He wakes up from his sleep. He goes and tells his mother, he's like, mother, I had this such and such a dream. We need to go to this place. The address he's gotten from the dream. So his mother said, inshallah, maybe inshallah, khair, let's go. They go the next day, based on that address that he got in the dream. When they show up at the house, he says, what's so strange is the family welcomes him in. The mother's like, bismillah, come on in, as if they've known him for years. He said, I'm sorry, but do you know me? She said, my husband, the Shaheed, he came to me in my dream last night. And he said, this particular daughter, give her in marriage to this guy. And later they got married. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his timing is perfect. He knows what we're going through. The thing is to trust him and go through it as he said. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah lati halat bifana'ik. Alayka minni salamullahi abadan ma baqit wa baqiya al-laylu wa nahar. As-salamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala ashab al-Husayn. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.